This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Brazil is very like, it's like a contradiction. Our society is very, you can see it as very liberal or very open, but at the same time, we are very conservative. So we are very moralist in some ways. And in some other ways, when it's carnival, for example, it's everything so open and you can do whatever you want. So we live with this contradiction. And Bolsonaro, obviously, it's not an isolated person. He represents all this conservatism that we have in Brazil. We have very advanced laws and rights for gay people, for LGBT people. Well, not that much, but we have some. But that doesn't translate into in the mindset of the population is very conservative. So the law tried to help us, but the reality, the life struggle is too hard.
So in terms of day-to-day living, so living as an open gay man or lesbian woman or trans person, mm-hmm. how does that manifest this conservatism?
In Brazil, we have the highest rates of violence against LGBT people in the world. We are the first country in the world. We are the country that kills most transgender people in the world, especially trans women. So, like this is translated into violence against us, and it's something that you feel when you walk in the streets, especially if you are visibly queer, you know. And that's something I could think about when I came here, a lot about gender and about how even in the gay community we are very prejudiced against femininity. Like the gay men, they want to be more masculine in Brazil, and if you show femininity, for example, you will be like people will have prejudice against you. Even inside the gay community. So
is that about misogyny or there's a Brazilian term for this, isn't there?
Machismo.
Machismo.
Yeah, Brazil is a very machista culture. And I could not see that very well when I was there. Once I came here, also because far away from my family, I could explore more and understand more about my internalized homophobia regarding my femininity. For mm-hmm. example, because in Brazil, it's like inside the gay community, we also have machismo. We also have this prejudice against femininity. So I could not even think about, for example, my own femininity, for example, because I used to deny it a lot, because the violence against us, it's more based on gender issues than sexuality, you know, and that was not very clear for me, as it is getting more clear now. Because here I see a society here that is more advanced in terms of gender freedom, and people are more free to break these gender rules and gender stereotypes. Whereas in Brazil, it's something very, very fixed, like men and women. Even inside the gay community, you see that the binary is very strong.
I find that really interesting that you're actually saying one of the big issues is within the LGBTI community.
Yes, that is true.
It's not all about Bolsonaro. It's not all about the conservative right. It's actually that there's an issue that needs to be addressed from within the huge LGBTI community in Brazil.
Yeah, because inside the community, like I used to have a boyfriend and now I analyze back the things that he used to say and how he used to recriminate things that we do or a friend would do that were just too gay or too feminine or too, and we all the time recriminating each other, like controlling ourselves to be more masculine. So that's something that's very like, yeah, it's like inside the gay community, is everywhere. It's part of the machismo.
So you mentioned that there was quite a lot of discrimination in against LGBT people. So do you think this machismo, this attitude towards your own sexuality and gender and, mm-hmm. and masculinity or femininity, where does that come from, do you think? What's behind it?
I started to look back and I started to realize because I used to suffer bullying at mm-hmm. school, and inside my house and my family the same. So my brother, my father, they used to point some things in me, and I grew up believing that I should be ashamed of these things, and I used to think that this thing was my sexuality, was being gay, but it was not. It was about my gender. It was about my femininity, and I could never come to terms with my femininity because I was fighting against it. So here I got the chance to think more, to accept my femininity, because I think in my case that's one of the biggest issues I have, because I learned during my adolescence, I learned how to hide my femininity in order to be more masculine, to please my father, my brother, to make them stop teasing me because of that. And at school was all the same. They didn't know I used to like boys. It was not about my sexuality. I was not kissing another guy. It was about my manners, about my way of being, acting, talking. So now I can see more clearly this division between gender, between femininity, masculinity, and sexuality. And it's a problem more about gender than sexuality, actually. And it has to do with machismo, and it has to do with misogyny. It has to do with the idea that women are less than men.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
What we're really talking about is the intersectionalities. That's the popular term that's used so much at the mm-hmm. moment. But what are the other intersectionalities in Brazil? Some of the things that we read about possibly are indigenous rights, our land rights, our wealth and class. How does this all sort of fit together? Mm-hmm. Because it seems to me that you can't just take out the LGBTI bit and only focus upon that.
Yeah, like Brazil, apart from being very machista country, it is also a very classist country. So, and we build our ways of thinking, our mindset, in the basis of slavery. So Brazil has one of the biggest African, like, black communities in the world, and we were the last country in the world to abolish slavery. So the scars from slavery are still very present. So racism is really strong in Brazil, although it's hidden. It's like we show to the world that we are very mixed and we are okay with that, but that's not true. Brazil is very racist. The rich people are the white people. And the black people are in the jails, are in the streets, are they have the less opportunities. And I also have that issue in my story, because my father's family is from the south, it's European, but my mother's family has African people mm-hmm. in her family. So like my hair is kind of Afro, and I grew up hating my hair and hating my African traits. And just trying to value or to think more about the European background and deny the African background. So my mother used to say that, oh, like this son came with bad hair when it's more Afro, and when it's like straight hair is like good hair. It's beautiful. Blue eyes are wonderful, whereas black or Afro hair is ugly, and you should use things to make it straight, or you should shave your hair. So it's something structural. It's not very conscious. It's not conscious. It's like it's inside all of us.
Yeah.
It's in the basis of our ways of thinking.
Maybe all of this nuance, all of this complexity gets lost when we see another tweet from Bolsonaro about something around homosexuality or something, yet another homophobic, terribly homophobic thing that he said. I did see one thing which I wasn't sure quite how factual this was, but the suggestion was that something like 30% of, it looked like gay men, had said prior to the election that they were going to vote for Bolsonaro. I'm not sure if they were more likely to be white gay men or whether they're from other people in the LGBTI community, but you know, has there been a lot of support from LGBTI people for Bolsonaro?
I would say that there was, I wouldn't say a lot, but there is a part of LGBT people that supported Bolsonaro, and which I find incredible and unbelievable, but I think that the main thing there, it's the classism. So some people, they are not, most of people, LGBT people who support Bolsonaro are, there is this classist thing involved. Mm-hmm. Like they want to support the parties that are, they represent the interest of the higher classes. But there's also a lot of, about ignorance, a lot of about misinformation, you know, that Bolsonaro made his campaign based on fake news, on internet, like fake news, similar to what Trump did in the United States. So in Brazil, we have like huge people that are a huge part of the population that are uneducated. So they just got informed by WhatsApp messages or fake news. And then that's how he got elected. And he's still using this technique of doing this, like this declarations just to cause polemics, and it's just terrible what's happening in Brazil.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
So Brazil has had a history of a number of very high-level corruption cases.
Yeah.
Very many years of high levels of violence before Bolsonaro.
Mm-hmm.
Some interpretations would be is that, you know, people were looking for something different.
Yeah, well, yeah, corruption is a problem that's it's really structural in Brazil. It's everywhere. The previous government from PT, it was like a left-wing government for 13 years, something like that. This government made a lot of progress in social issues, and there were corruption scandals. But in Brazil, like the media, they didn't like the left-wing government, so they were using the corruption problem that actually happens in all the parties. They were using these as an excuse to stigmatize the left, you know. So the media plays a big role in Brazil because television especially, global, it plays a big role in Brazil because most part of the country doesn't have access to many other media, only television, and it reaches like the countryside and has a huge influence. So they were part of this, you know, with Dilma Rousseff, she suffered an unjust impeachment, which is, for me, it was a coup. So, and since that, we started to get drawn into this process that's tearing apart our democracy. Because Lula was in the first place in the polls to get elected again, and that would be the nightmare for the right wing. So they did everything they could to stop that. So they did this trial, and they arrested him. And it was an unjust judgment. And this is being showed now by some leaks about the judge that judged him. This judge was corrupted and was working against him with the accusation. Now everything is appearing, the truth. But it's just the beginning. But I believe Lula is going to be released from jail. But that specifically, this situation led to Bolsonaro victory, and then Bolsonaro called this judge to be his minister. So now he's his minister. So that's the political situation. Yeah.
A great summary, thank you.
So that's really interesting. I just want to go back a little bit on the role of the media and what we see in when we look at international media in Australia about Brazil is really, the Bolsonaro and the homophobic rhetoric, the racist rhetoric, mm-hmm. all those things. And you mentioned a little bit about a rise in homophobic violence or transphobic violence, and I think there was a trans woman killed in January, mm-hmm. which prompted the departure of one of the congressmen, John Willis. Yeah. So is it something that you think is happening in Brazil? There is really an effect from the election of Bolsonaro on the community, or is it something else?
Since Bolsonaro started to get more, before he was elected, he started to get more popularity, homophobic violence started to increase. People felt legitimated by his speech, by his words. And when he was elected, now he's the president, and that's very symbolic. Like, the president can say these things about us. And he has a history of homophobic declarations. He said he would rather have his son dead than being gay. He says that we should be beaten up when we are children so we can not be gay. He has, like, and people, they deny it. They don't want to look at this and admit that that's the way he thinks. Yeah, I think since the assassination of Marielle Franco in 2018, she was a council woman in Rio, and she was a black lesbian left wing politician, and she was murdered. It's a very symbolic example of the violence against LGBT people, and in general, yes, I think violence against us is now more like, it's legitimated by the president, but there are other forces involved. So Bolsonaro is not the king of Brazil. He doesn't have the majority in the Congress. He's fighting against. He's struggling because there are other forces in Brazil. Congress is getting stronger. He's not being able to take all decisions alone, of course. And the Supreme Court has voted a very important decision like 2 weeks ago, criminalizing, putting LGBT phobia in the same level as racism. So now it is a crime to act with prejudice against gay LGBT people. And in Brazil, these laws that turns things into crimes like racism, they are very effective because they are, in my opinion, they are very, they symbolize a lot for the population. They may be not so effective, but the people, they have some, well, they fear the these laws. Mm.
So when we hear about tweets from Bolsonaro, all this complexity, some great things that have been happening in legal decisions and a whole past history of Brazil being really quite progressive, what should be the take-home message for those of us which are not experts, which are just listening to this program? What should be the take-home message about what is happening? Is it looking positive, or should we be concerned?
I think it's very... I'm very worried about Brazil. Like, the positive things, they are not enough. They are very, like the overall situation is really bad. The government is it's been a huge failure. Mm-hmm. It's just 6 months, but it's taken all the wrong decisions. So that in the social, health, education, is like, it's really taking the country in. He's not prepared to be a president. So I'm very concerned in general about Brazil, about the LGBT people. I think we have achieved some rights and some, like, good things for the community, but that was a hard process, and I think that that's the only thing that's keeping us with some strength. It's because we have done a hard work in the last 15 years or much more, but we have achieved a lot, and we have so part of the population is a little bit more accepting of us. So I think it's hard to go back. I think the main worry, I think what worries me the most is the violence, especially against trans women. That's what worries me the most, and against Black LGBT people, you know, because I am privileged. I got beaten at school, but when I go to the street, I don't fear for my life. Only if I am with hand in hand with my boyfriend, then I would be afraid of some attack. But people who are visibly trans, these people are, I get really worried about that. Trans people, apart from getting murdered, they have high rates of suicide. So the mental health of LGBT people worries me a lot. So Brazil, like if you are Black trans person in Brazil, like it's just too hard to live, to survive, you know. So that's really something to worry about, especially when you have a president like that.
You're going back to Brazil in a few months.
Yeah.
What do you think needs to be done, and what are your plans?
So I want to go back to Brazil and do another, probably another bachelor's degree, and maybe I will do a master's degree. One of the topics that I like the most is gender. So gender and sexuality is something that I want to study, and I want to maybe have like a career as a researcher, but also I want to always be involved in activism, and I think that gives a lot of meaning to my work. I want to fight for justice, especially about transgender people and trans women. I want to be part of this. I want to help the community, you know, so that a future generation don't have to struggle so much.
Thank you
very much. That was really
super.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.